I'll go through the instructions one more time before we get started. If you didn't receive the email, which you should have received about an hour ago, that has instructions on how to log into the notes, you can just point your web browser directly to mecgroups.com/mec_research_log, and we'll ask you to refresh that page a few times throughout the conference as we add some tables and data. Also, the key commands that you might find helpful are *6 to mute your line if you're in a noisy room, and *4 will increase the volume on your line if you're having trouble hearing. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be our primary speaker for today's conference. Dr. McLaughlin.
Okay, I want to welcome everyone. Brian, as I get started, if you can lay out for us the upcoming conferences or briefs that we've got planned, and then I'll get right into the content here. Go ahead.
Okay. The next two conferences that we have scheduled, if you'd like to participate in either of these, you can email directly at editor@marketingexperiments.com. The two that we have scheduled are September 8th at 4 p.m. Using dynamic web pages with search engines, and September 22nd at 4 p.m. avoiding unprofitable pay-per-click campaigns. And then the next four research briefs that are scheduled include that dynamic web pages brief, testing eBay's pay-per-click service, which is relatively new. We'll be testing easy in advertising. And again, the avoiding unprofitable pay-per-click campaigns. There'll be a brief as well as a clinic.
Also coming up in September is the Conversion Ratio Optimization Conference, which many of you are no doubt registered for, or I would think so. But if not, that's an event at Universal Studios Florida. Our team will be working directly with the group. Andy Borden will be there, a number of our key research partners, Craig Calder from the New York Times, Steve Weinkoop, the president of the SQL Server Worldwide Users Group, and we'll be all drilling down in a series of experiments that we'll actually run together, even with some of our own sites, learning how to optimize conversion in our campaigns, learning how to optimize conversions on our websites and their various pages. And if you haven't registered for that, you can. There's a link that Brian will refresh into your notes to the page that tells you more about that. Brian, you can add that link whenever you're ready. All right, we're going to get started, and the long-awaited, once rescheduled, still being tested clinic on long copy versus short copy, and essentially which works best. By long copy, we are referencing a body of copy connected to your offer that is long, sometimes obnoxiously long, as has been traditionally used by some of your hardcore internet marketers, compared to the shorter professional page copy look of some place like GoToMyPC. Which of these models converts higher is a critical question. In direct mail, it's long been thought that long copy produces more. But on the web, does that really work? And really, when people are so busy and trying to determine whether or not an offer is adequate for what they're looking for, do they want to wade through, you know, what often turns out to be, if you were to print, somewhere between 4 and 12 pages of content in a typical long copy single-page website offer, or nearly a single-page website offer? Actually, a site can have three pages that are quietly de-emphasized and attached to a long copy offer, but basically you contain everything in that page and you design the page to get them to place an order. Having said that, there's a series of questions that we would like to answer. One of them is the effective use of dynamic web pages. The other one is easy in advertising. One of those is what impact can the length of your sales copy have upon your website's conversion ratio? What are the advantages of long versus short and vice versa? What are the 10 guidelines to keep in mind when evaluating your site copy? And some other things. Brian, would you give the mute instructions for just a moment? I'm sure.
Sure.
Someone,
to mute your line, hit *6.
No, Flint, like you don't.
I can try to meet that from my end as well, but I'll have to go through the lines one by one.
Okay. With this, I don't think we've ever had this particular event, but we're live on the internet, and this is what's happening. If you can hear me, and you may want to mute your phone if you haven't already done so, and then just unmute it if you have a.
But when you look at it, it doesn't look straight.
Brian, and if you'll go ahead and focus on that, that will be somebody that's come in the last few minutes, so you can use the timing to pull that down. Okay. All right. Having said that, get right into the answer to these questions. And to do that, I need to get your help. There is a numbered link in your notes that we want to refer to directly. And so I want to show you a sample of long copy versus short copy. And let's begin by going to the MEC link. What is it, Brian? Please give us the link number.
The short copy test page. Is that the one we want? That's like 8.
Link number 8. Link number 8 for an example of the page that we tested. You may find the content surprising, but this is a real experiment with a very successful, very, very smart marketing group. And take a look at this short copy page, and then we're going to move to the long copy page. Link 9 in your notes will give you an example. By the way, this short copy page may seem not all that short to you, and that's reasonable. We're also testing an even shorter version of this page, which you can see also in your links, and I believe that's probably going to be link 10. But let's go ahead and look at link 9 now in your notes. And in link 9, you'll go to the long copy test page. Brian, these all need to open as independent windows in future notes. In the long copy test page, you'll see a much, much longer version. You can scroll down that. Now, we're also testing what is in link a very short page. But based on what you see in front of you now, I'd be quite interested in hearing, and you don't really have to answer me right now, but feel free to interrupt with questions later, but it may be, or at any point here, but it may be interesting for you to try and determine which one of these pages you think will pull the most and by how much. I think the by how much is important because it keeps it from being a 50-50, guess. What we need to know is, which page will pull the best, and why do you think it'll pull the best, and by what percentage do you think it will pull the best? And I'd like you to think about that for a moment. I'm going to get into the actual results of the test here in just a little bit, but I think it's critical, first of all, to put this in context. In this first test, we sent traffic to 2 landing pages using Google AdWords. First page was the home page, which contained short copy describing the product. Second page was similar but featured a much longer article about the product. Pages prompt visitors to click through to the order page, from which point they would be taken to the shopping cart. Our initial results were gathered after a 5-day period, and we're going to show you the first set of test results. And I'll go ahead and have Brian refresh the screen. And again, if you're joining us just now, we're going to look now at the chart for the combination of testing in our notes of link 8 and link 9.
There's actually a minor error in the second chart that I'm fixing on the fly right now.
Okay. You go ahead and do that. All right. Is this the second table, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now, now that we're in those notes, I'm looking at the first table, and what you're going to notice is the ad group that we set up to monitor this with, the number of clicks from the ad group based on the success of the copy of the ad and based on the search term. Then you'll note the cost. By the way, you'll note this is a very small micro test. Typically, we can pull fairly substantial insights from a small sampling using our methodology, and we use the terminology micro test deliberately. It's something we emphasize over the approach of many labs, but I think that this test compared with the next test, compared with the second micro test, which we're going to look at in a moment, and a third ongoing test, is all corroborating our initial observations from a small sampling. Notice on this 5-day traffic sent directly from Google AdWords that the ROI from this first short copy test turns out to be -1.4%, conversion ratio is 0.37%, which is quite low, a third of a point. And then if you'll notice the long copy, pull up the long copy test. Brian, I'll let you run down just the total line on the second table with us of the first copy test.
The conversion?
The conversion and the ROI.
Okay. In ad group number one, is the ROI is -100%, a conversion of zero. Number two is 82% ROI, 0.64 conversion. Number three is -30% ROI and a 0.43 conversion. Number four is a 6% ROI and 0.56 conversion. And both groups five and six were 0% conversion, which is a -100% ROI. The total then is a 21% return on investment and 0.52 conversion.
Now, you recognize, and hopefully this is clear to you, when we talk about number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, those are separate ad groups within Google AdWords, and we're tracking the individual AdWord groups as well as the overall progress of the campaign. We could show you less numbers, but by showing you these numbers, you're really seeing deep into the texture of the test. And what you need to understand is that in our initial micro test, long copy outperformed short copy by 40.54%. Click-throughs, traffic sent to the short copy page was unprofitable, while traffic sent to the long copy page produced an ROI of 21%. Now, bear this in mind also. You're comparing these two pages, both of which can be optimized much further once you begin to get initial data back. It may very well be that conversion can jump up fairly dramatically as we begin to carefully optimize the page and pull it into the 2 percentile plus range. But let's look at those two numbers and then consider this. In the first microtest, it appears the long copy page performed much better than the short copy page. However, a 5-day period is not enough to account for statistical fluctuations that might skew our real results, so we continued the test. We maintained the same test, expanded our keyword bidding slightly, and gathered additional results over the subsequent 5 days. And so phase two had this yield. And if you'll look, you'll see 8 ad groups now. And in those 8 ad groups, you'll see the number of clicks driven, the cost to drive them, and then you'll see revenue, and again, back to ROI. ROI on the short copy test was -66%. Now, there's something that's critical about this, if you stop to think about it. This is a product in itself that is difficult to make money with in the pay-per-click engines. And many companies would be spending money promoting a product like this, losing money, and not even knowing it because they would notice that sales were up when Google was on and sales were down when Google was off, but would not be set up to truly properly track the individual return on investment for each campaign. It's shocking to me how many companies, very large companies as well as small companies, cannot adequately track ROI. This is classic. I typically see a Google campaign and a product like this losing money, and the company's not even aware of what the amount of the loss is. All they can tell is an intuitive kind of aggregate feel that when they turn off Google, sales go down. Well, if you turn off Google here, sales would go down too, but the reality is the longer you run it, the more money you're losing. Now, compare that -66% ROI with a conversion rate at 0.18. Compare that to the long copy test total, and you'll see that revenue was dramatically higher. Conversion ratios were much higher as a function of 1%. and totals are much higher. Again, the long copy outperformed the short copy, this time with an even greater factor of nearly 4 to 1. Our ROI was dismal for the short copy page and respectable for the long copy page. Now, you'll see these in factors of 1% and clarity in the final report. You're just looking at my lecture notes, but you'll actually, in the report that we send out to you, have even more data and a clear understanding of how, because not everyone's going to have this type of verbal explanation. But it's critical that you note that long copy dramatically outpulled short copy. Now, we're not done. As I speak, we're running yet another test, and that test is determined to help us understand, yet again, is long copy still outpulling short copy? And we're also planning a series of tests to copy a different mix of products. But in our first 10 days of testing, long copy significantly outperformed short copy. And I think a key point is this, although long copy clearly outperformed short copy in the test above, it's true that our own results may vary, and we recommend setting up microtests similar to those above. And in the section below, we'll offer a number of guidelines to help you implement those tests, and I'll begin to move into that now with you, because I think it's critical not to say equivocally that long copy outperformed short copy, but to say that it did in this case, and it might in your case. You may be leaving money on the table because you haven't adequately tested two versions of copy. And I would say even a step further that when it comes to product descriptions, to anybody here that's just a hardcore retailer, what we've discovered, as has Amazon, that more detailed product descriptions produce higher sales, and one of the best ways to improve conversion on your site is to increase the amount of information you provide about a product. So that's a principle that flows into the design of your store, but it's also being tested now in terms of an offer for subscription and publishing, in terms of an offer for a single unique product like this, and other products in the health markets, and so on. So the one of the questions we need to ask are, what are the advantages of long copy versus short copy and vice versa, so we can start to evaluate what the opportunities are for our own products that each of us represent. Both short and long copy pages offer some advantages to the website owner depending on your product or service, and you may find that one serves you better than the other, or you may find that some areas of the site warrant long copy while others require more brevity. There's four keys I want to go over with you regarding long copy right now. Your visitors will have most of their questions answered and will have less anxiety about ordering from you. That's one of the benefits of long copy, and it's a critical one. One of the issues that we have found is it's true that it takes longer to read the page. It's true that less people will read the page. It's also true that a qualified customer is likely to read the page, and so whereas less people will read the page when you go to long copy, what you may find is that more people who read the page buy, because they're getting the information they need. Long copy can reduce customer service by qualifying your customers to a greater degree. And long copy with bolded or emphasized points, which is critical. You never just want long. By the way, we'll talk about this when designing long copy. You must use an iPath through long copy or you will lose your readers. Long copy, I don't think, is effective. I think it loses 50% effectiveness when all you have is a blank page of text and a picture. You must use indention, bold fonts, links, and strategic, not too much, but strategic graphics in order to get them through that longer copy. Create an iPath, draw their eyes to the important points, and it's critical. We'll get to that later in this report. So long copy with bold or emphasized points can allow some of your visitors to skim, while others more interested in specifics can find all the information they want. And this long copy gives visitors more options. So long and interesting keyword-rich copy, here's another advantage, often performs well in the natural search engines. And we'll send you in our report more information on natural search from another experiment that we did. But a very important advantage of long copy is how high it can typically rank in the natural search engines. Now, we should look at short copy for a moment in terms of what are, and there are two or three that are of note. One is it does not risk, you don't risk losing the interest of your website visitors. Clearly they can grasp in a quicker way what it is that their what it is that your offer is. Short copy also allows for sleeker page presentations that don't go on, and you always have the option of providing links to additional pages with more information about your products. The caveat here is that every time typically you require your audience to click a link, you lose 50% of them. So while it seems like the solution is short copy with links to additional information, very often you will never get them to make that additional click-through, and you lose your potential prospect. But short copy minimizes the risk that your pages will be perceived as hype-ridden sales letters. Many of the long copy sites that we've tested are they're obnoxious, not just in length. Now, this one is not as bad, but they're obnoxious in the methodology and the tone and in the writing. So you have some advantages that can weigh against that in short copy. And, in fact, we've prepared some examples that, you know, we may reference throughout as I start to talk in just a moment about the 10 key guidelines to keep in mind when evaluating your site copy. And so I think I will refer to some of these examples that we have here, but first we're going to take a visit to some of these sites and see some examples of what I'm talking about and just evaluate them on the fly together as we move into the 10 points here. Before I do that, does anyone have any questions?
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
My question is, when you were generating the traffic to the long copy and the short copy pages, were the ads identical?
Yes.
All right.
Ads are identical in order to isolate the variable being primarily just the actual content on the landing page.
Thank you.
Okay.
I have one question. This is Jagdish from NetStudio.
Yes. Yes.
Have you gentlemen developed a template for both long and short copy whereby you give suggestions about where to put the strategic iPad graphics and bold fonts and small fonts, et cetera, et cetera?
That's a very good question. We have a future clinic coming up on how to write copy. And we don't have anything prepared to give you yet, but by the time we get to that clinic, we will blueprint for you a long copy approach. Primarily, it'll be long copy and basic guidelines in how to execute. What you do need are templates. And as you know, with many of our clinics, we release spreadsheets and tools to help you. And we intend to do that also with this long copy methodology that we're testing right now. Our set of tests, Jack, just will be focused not just on does it work, but the how of it, which means we'll isolate variables of the long copy and begin to test key factors, the headlines, and so on, to put together a tested methodology as opposed to an intuitive grasp. So it's a good question. I'll try to answer it more thoroughly with the tool when we've done our homework.
Okay, thanks.
Good. All right, so what are 10 key guidelines to keep in mind when evaluating your site copy? And I think that's something we want to look at. But first of all, we want to go to this page that we have in our notes, and there's a series of links. Brian, go ahead and call out the link number, and we're going to go to an example of good short copy, well-written, effective short copy.
I believe the go-to MyPC link, is that the one you want, Flint?
I'd like, yes. Yes.
Okay, that's number 11 in the notes.
Okay, so if you're there with me now at link number 11, you should see an example of a pretty smart short copy, a radically short copy approach. Try it free. Now, I'd like to talk about this. It's critical, and if you want to understand how this is working, and there is one key component that helps and aids somebody with short copy, and that is, can anyone tell me what the element is in this page that makes short copy for these guys? And, I mean, it works reasonably well. I'm familiar with somewhat with their numbers. But would anybody like to guess what element on this page causes the short copy to be possible here?
The use of color?
I'll guess it's the try it free.
It is, the free trial. The color is helpful. I mean, you know, the color actually can impact sales, but in this case, when you can minimize risk and minimize hassle, there's a certain sector of the audience that you can get to try something for free, and you don't nearly have to be as persuasive as you would be without it. So the free trial is good. The only problem is the minute you start asking for a credit card, which you should do on a free trial in most every case, what's going to occur is you're going to lose a dramatic percentage of those. However, the way to counter that, for those of you that are considering a short copy combination with free trial, is to add a abandoned process recovery stage of emails. We did this with a major group like GoToMyPC. It was not them, and I can't tell you their name because I'm going to tell you their numbers. And we saved 4,000 abandoned orders in doing so. So I would suggest that you can sometimes get away with shorter copy, free trial, and a follow-up for those that abandon the process. But even then, I divert half my traffic in an A-B split test, which we'll talk about later, what that is, how to do it, in an A-B split test with long against short, because even GoToMyPC with the right long copy offer might be able to reach a whole segment of the market that they're not reaching right now. I'll go a step further and say that if I was taking them into the next level, what I would do is segment their market. I'd find out the different specific customer profiles coming into this site by tracing all the channels that they're driving traffic here from, and I would customize the offer directly to the channel. And for some of those channels, without a doubt, long copy would sell more. So that's an example of respectable short copy. Let me take you to an example of effective long copy. And that's going to be a link. That's stocksignal.net. Go ahead and let's go there.
That's link number 12 in the notes.
Link number 12 in your notes. Now, this site is not gorgeous. I'm not saying it's ugly. In fact, it's clean. It uses tables in some ways here that would make designers, would make a graphic artist troubled. But this site makes money. And I can't say much about it because I don't want to compromise any data related to the – this is a site represented by one of our research partners. And but I take you to it to show you a piece of long copy that's working. It's not – it's modestly long, but it's long. And I think I heard his voice on the phone. Doug, are you on the phone?
I'm on the phone.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Is that Doug?
Yes.
Yes, that's me.
You're welcome to say anything you want to say that doesn't compromise your position or anything, but I simply want to brag on this copy for you. And so we're doing that. I actually involved in a research project to help optimize this. But it's performing quite well. Is there anything that you feel at liberty to share with us, Doug, with the audience? I know I'm catching on the spot, so you don't have to say anything, or you can say.
The only thing that I would say that we're trying on this site, which I think is new, is we're trying to emphasize for people to mail in an order for the CD-ROM in an effort to with a check or a money order in an effort to make the extra $15 an order and transaction fee to the merchant processor.
Okay.
Which is something, that we're trying to see if it works.
And this page, I'm correct in my, am I correct in my statement that this page has been effective for you?
Yes, it has. This page is converting really well. In fact, the numbers are up considerably from the numbers we've talked about before.
Sure. Guys, when we say converting well, I wonder how much I can – I would say it's converting at three times what an average conversion ratio would be across the net in a typical long copy test or anyone's typical conversion ratio, one of the highest converting pages I've seen.
And
so,
I would say that I think that's partially due to the fact that there is a lot of information here, but not too much, and it still requires a little curiosity on the part of the buyer. And so, with the risk-free, guarantee and everything like that, they go ahead and order because they feel like they've got enough information, but the page isn't so long that they bail on it and say, well, this is too long. You know what I mean?
Yep, I sure do. On the other hand, it brings another question up, which we're testing, which is how long is long and how long is too long? And the answer to that is different for each product, but it's a critical question. But the bottom line is this is basically a one-page website sell with long copy. It may have some links on it. I'm checking to see if I see any other. No, it looks to me like it's either order or go away.
And
yeah, or mail to for more information.
Yeah, and it works.
Yeah.
All right, so there is that question?
This is Steve Weinkoop.
Oh, yes, Stephen, go ahead.
Question on this page, actually. You know, a lot of times when you see long copy like this, you'll see a more than one buy now button.
Yes.
Yes. Down the page. Is there a reason that you did not go that way, or have you seen that not work as well?
I would tell you that if this page was twice this long, there would be more than one opportunity to buy. But because it's really based around kind of like, you know, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3, and then we kind of go through the 1, 2, and 3 steps fairly clearly or quickly, that, you know, that really when you get to the bottom of the page, it doesn't really take you that long to get there. If you would study like a real long copy page, like a Corey Rudel type page, you'd probably get this far down into the page before you get the first buy button.
Correct. And the other thing is, Stephen, that often what you'll find is the price, most, and I have not tested this recently, but in most long copy tests, if the price is up too early in the copy, conversion drops dramatically. They deliberately put the price down low at the bottom of the page because they know that people will scroll through the copy on the way to get the price, and scrolling through the copy, they'll get hit by the headline. And getting hit by the headline takes a chance of pulling them in. We could argue that you know, isn't serving the visitor well, but certainly that's what has been found in by most direct marketers. Okay?
Also, a lot of times we'll actually have the price in the ad that dropped them here.
Okay.
Now,
can I ask one question? This is Gary from AccuWeb Hosting. The question I have is regarding the long copy for a stock signal here. If we want to compare that to the conversion versus the type of traffic that it was receiving, I mean, how targeted is the traffic?
I don't think the target's pretty highly targeted through Google campaigns and links off of similar websites.
Okay.
Traffic is targeted, but it's no more targeted than the average marketing campaign other than when they do houseless mailing and or something of that nature. I mean, it's targeted because they're driving the target, they're drawing the traffic in the traditional ways that most marketers do, you know, through strategic links and through the pay-per-click engines, etc. So the conversion is not due to the fact that they have this super great deal with a super great website or a super great list.
Okay,
that gives them an inside advantage. Yeah. Now, there are some other examples. I want to go to Rudel's. Somebody's mentioned Corey. I want to go to Corey's page before I get to these final steps here. But let's go to Corey's page. And so what link number is that, Brian?
That's link number 15.
Link 15. And we'll look at an example of a typical page from Corey Rudel. Now, listen, how many of you know who Corey is?
I do.
Most of us do. Okay. I have Corey and I have not met, and I don't want to. Neither do I want to say anything. You know, make an enemy or be in an adversarial position with him. He's sold a lot of things on the internet, and arguably he's a very, very effective marketer. But I'd like you to notice how long this page is, number one. It's dramatically long, and it's got ugly headlines, and yet it's very effective. Now, there are things about it I do not like at all, one of which is from Cornell Wednesday, 10:44 a.m., that note up there is part of, you know, a tool that's often used to make the letter look fresh. And it's normally just JavaScript. Typically, you can find it in the source code. And often it says this offer will, now I don't know if Corey's doing that on this page, but I'm showing it when we talk later about how to approach your people in a long copy ad. Often, you know, the offer expires. Well, here it is. However, this price, go down to the end. Go down to the very end, underneath the signature. Associate Track is a bargain costing far less than any of my competitors. At the version 4.0 launch price of $377 or four payments of $94.95, it is a steal. However, this price is only available until August 25, 2004. At that time, the price will shoot up by $300 to $677. Now, you'll note today is August 25th. How many of you guess what that number is going to say tomorrow when you click onto this site?
100%.
And it's interesting. This is, I think, a change in his part. Instead of saying August 26th and giving it today, he is saying today's date, I think, to deliberately build an intensity, and along with that, hey, we got them. The price hasn't changed yet. I better move fast. It's supposed to go up today, but it hasn't yet. I'll guarantee you he's tested that element and found that the traditional way, which was to point the next day, is probably not as effective as what he's got on here right now, and that is to make that day, you know, this time. Now, again, not to speak negative of Corey, but I don't like this. I believe that it's lying to your prospect. And I don't even care if it works. I still don't like it because I think it's wrong. However, in the end, there's some real problem. He's talking about these 10 keys. So let's move rapidly through the notes that we have here. And incidentally, that type of copy may produce what they say in the industry as a one-off, but long-term relationships don't occur, and many of you need long-term relationships from your customers. Long-term relationships don't occur when you predicate them and develop them by the customer. Once you've tricked them, now you've got to live with them and try to build a relationship. So let's begin with 10 key guidelines quickly. We'll move through this rapidly. If we can't get through it all, we'll cover the rest in the upcoming report, and there'll be more in the report that we're going to release. First of all, testing is vital. This is my first key here. There is no universal rule regarding the ideal length of marketing message. Without testing and revising your offer copy, you risk leaving significant revenue on the table. So a real key here is to set up your test properly and make certain sure that you're testing both versions, long against short. And at MEC, we tested long, we tested short, we tested a short version with a more info button that took you to the long version. And at MEC, we did something else that's rather unique. And I think I'm going to add it to this for you to take a look at and see if it'll help you. So go to marketingexperiments.com. Not in our notes. This is not planned, but I'm going to take you there anyway and see if I can get you to the page that I want you to look at. So once you get there, scroll to the bottom of the page and click Join Lab. All right. So if you went to marketingexperiments.com, you went to the bottom of the home page, clicked on Join Lab, you'll see a page that's reasonably long, but it's compared to Corey's, it's a breeze. Are you there now?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what I want to do is when I pass my mouse over the scroll button, I want you to look at all the testimonials. You'll see a scroll button to your right-hand side. It works in most browsers, tested down to, the browsers it does not work in is statistically insignificant for our market. Scroll down over that, you hold over that button, and you'll notice that a long set of testimonials continues to scroll for you. If you go down the same thing on the Library of Experiments, you'll see, again, a long scroll button. And I mean, it's long. If I had all this on the page, and I've tested this page the other way, if I had all this on the page, this page would be 15 pages long. Now, you could argue that they may not see what they need to see if you provide a scroll button. On the other hand, I've made sure they see at least what they need to see. The first testimonial is from Anne, and Anne Holland's name is well known, and if they don't see anything else but that, they're getting the idea. And if they hit the scroll button, they go to Andrew Borland, the founder of ClickZ, and if they go to that, they go to more, these are changing all the time. We're adding them from leaders throughout the industry. Scroll down to the Library of Experiments, and that first list has been tested. The ones you do see really put a lot of there's impact in those titles, and then if you go down more, it only grows, and we add questions and answers from each of the various reports. So, and by the way, this is a model that you may want to look when you're looking for a template. It works. The headline is there. It's not particularly beautiful, but on the same token, it's not as abrasive as the headline on Riddell's ad, and, you know, it works. So I show you those tools and point out that we've tested this version of a page. We've tested a much shorter version, which I want to show you right now. Take your back button and go back to the main page. Okay? Is everyone back to the main page?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Click on, I'm going to go down to under reports. And by the way, our homepage is long. We want it long. We want all these reports to be there. The idea here is to impress you with how copious the research is. And we only have one goal on this page. Only one goal. It's not to get a research partnership. I mean a membership. The goal of the page is to get you to subscribe to the newsletter or to the journal. Nothing else. And, you know, we have the conference on here. The primary goal, 85% of our attention, is on getting you to, and so there's a number of ways we do that. We've created a pop-up that automatically comes up when your mouse pops. If you slide your mouse over whatismarketingexperiments.com, you'll notice a pop-up that comes up, but it's not really a pop-up, so it doesn't get disallowed by Google. And that, combined with what we have here on the left and several other things we do, helps to get a high subscription ratio. Now slide down, and we're going to take the report on Yahoo. No, let's go down. On the left, let's go in the navigation under Promote Your Store, and let's go under Website Awards Tested. Go back. I want to use a different example looking at that. Go back from that. By the way, if you're a retailer, before this is done, I'll apply this to retail. Remember, our test site was a retailer, not a publisher, on long copy. So don't let me lose you if you're not in the publishing business. But look at a technique here. Let's go to let's go past the briefs down to report, and I'll tell you the report I'm going to choose. Comparison search engines tested, four up from the bottom. Comparison search engines tested under Promote Your Store in the left navigation. Up from the bottom is comparison search engines tested. Now, when you slide down, when you click on that link, you begin to get a report, and at the bottom it says more. It doesn't hit you with any offers, it says more. The most compelling single one word we can do to get you to the next page. When you click on more, you get a version of the offer page you just saw, but it's customized with a headline. And in many of these, the headline is directly customized specifically to the report. Now, there's a reason that we use the More button, because nobody would even see the offer for a membership unless they read the whole report. Why do we do that? We don't think they're ready for a membership unless they've read that much of a report. And all we want in the meantime is their subscription so that we can get enough reports in front of them that they'll get an opportunity to see something that will hit a hot button and make them read the report and at that point become a member. Now, if you were to go through, some of these are briefs and some of these reports. Briefs don't have this, but if you look at the reports, like, you know, when I go to the Overture Tested, you don't have to go here. When I go to Overture Tested and I click more, it gives me a headline that says, get this complete report free and discover how our test site rejected Overture's very expensive top position and still earned a 4,067% return on investment. Now, that's a precise number. And as you start to read the body of that, it's customized for all of our major reports. So that traffic coming in from a search engine comes to the exact report, reads half of it, wants the rest of it, and then gets the headline customized directly for that channel. Specificity is what converts. You can see an example of that if you click on the Overture report, which is in the under the nav structure under Promote Your eZine. It's also under Promote Your Store, Overture Tested. One link above the one on comparison search engines, Overture Tested. I don't have this numbered because I'm doing this extemporaneously with you right now, but you may consider that as you think about the template and about how to approach this. I'm going to move on. My point would be this. You must test. You cannot assume. You must test. My next point. In general, and we can't stress this enough, higher-priced products tend to warrant longer copy. It takes longer for a customer to commit to spending $500 than to spend $20, and your copy should take that into consideration. Information-intensive products require long copy. Brian, make sure this is in the master report.
certain types of requirements are what we call education requirement products. To buy that product for yeast infection, it's an unusual topic, but this guy's running a great company. And the reality is you need to read about his solution, and people are looking for information. And so some products require more education and more information. And candidly, I think we tend to under-educate as opposed to over-educate when it comes down to developing our copy. And if you're a retailer and you're thinking about hiring an expensive consultant, what I would suggest is don't hire the consultant yet. And if you don't have super rich, strong descriptions of all your products, then just doing that alone will pop your conversion ratio up dramatically. Invest your money in that. Make sure they got great photographs. Make sure they've got great product descriptions. How serious are we about that? We took a store that was in Yahoo, if you know that platform. And because we didn't feel it was, we were so serious about it that we took 15,000 products, if you can imagine, took individual photographs or scanned pictures. Whenever we didn't like the cataloger's picture, we pulled our own and scanned it to get a higher quality photograph. Scanned the highest quality photograph, and then took that their product offering and added rich descriptions, all manually typed in for 15,000 plus products, and it was just a Yahoo store. They're going public this year. That was 3 years ago. All right, so let's go on with the next point. Information-based products often benefit from longer copy. And it's critical that you get not just long copy, but well-written copy, and not be afraid to hire a professional writer to get your descriptions correct and your copy written well. Long is of no value if long is not good. The which is the fourth point here. The long versus short debate often overlooks the most important factor when it comes to website copy. Quality, high quality, short copy will outperform poorly written long copy every time. Incidentally, for our test, the short copy and the long copy were both written by the same person who is a long copy text writing expert, not on our staff, a third party outsourced and well known in the industry. Just in order to make sure that the copy that we were comparing was commensurate. All that was done, it was edited down for the short copy. So it's not enough for the copy to be long. It has to be good, very, very good. And the same thing goes for your product descriptions. Number five, when testing site copy, control your other variables. Page design, layout, graphics, and so on still affect the performance of a page. So when testing copy, make sure the other page elements remain the same, which brings me to another caveat which does not appear in my notes. Do not underestimate the power of an ugly page that's well written. In test over and over again, ugly pages have outperformed attractive pages because the content was better presented. In fact, getting from off, you know, moving from the internet to offline venues, you'll find that direct marketing pieces often work better on a particular colored page, which is a ugly yellow page, and they work typically better in a fairly plain format as opposed to the full color glossies, and that has been proven over and over and over again in terms of direct mail letters. On the net, there is a difference. On the net, the personality that you're buying from is established by the look of the site. So I find that whereas an ugly page may work, the best combination is an attractive, professional page, modest but professional. Do you understand what I mean when I say modest? It doesn't need to strike you like a TBN set from your television station, all glitz and glamour. Very professional, so that they have the personality, and this depends on your product, but the product needs to match, the presentation needs to match the product. And if it's a corporate or B2B site, it needs to have that solid feel, but at the same time, it needs to have great copy. And I have, with my own team, taken ugly pages, reproduced them, ran our test, found our pages, though they were more attractive, did not outpull the hideously, horrendously ugly pages that we replaced until we got the copyright. So consider that as we move on to point six. Number six, utilize an A-B split test. Now, I've got guys on here like Stephen Weinkoop who an A-B split test is second nature. But the average retailer is still not A-B split testing. And by the way, be suspicious of new testing methodologies, which you've heard of, Taguchi Method and others, that talk about testing multiple variables at one time. I'm not saying that's impossible, but complicated math formulas produce complicated results. And what you want in the end is simple results that you can make an intuitive decision based on enough probability through the testing that you've done. Testing is a means to an end. It is not the end. And I have talked to many retailers who've done complicated testing methodology using methods like Taguchi, testing multiple variables and using math formulas in order to try and do that, and have really not been able to move the bar. It's so much easier to run test A, a page A against page B every other visit through a simple computing program that simply switches the page. The first visitor sees A, the next visitor sees B, the third visitor sees A, the fourth visitor sees B. It's better to do A-B split testing that way than to do it in the interval way, which I'm going to talk about for just a moment. But in the meantime, Brian, I don't know if you have this in here, but we've given you three ways to get split testing done from outside third-party inexpensive software sources. And Brian, you can reproduce that in the notes for everyone in case they need that.
Yeah, those are actually links 5, 6, and 7 in the notes.
All right. Links 5, 6, and 7 will take you to somebody that can help you do it. I'm not testifying as to their quality. However, if anyone here uses them, I would like to hear what your experience is. Please email us so that we'll know for the future. On the other hand, if you don't have that, one way to do it is to put up page A, leave it up for a period of time, then put up page B and leave it up for a period of time. The problem with that is that buying cycles change. So be sensitive to the fact that your results might be skewed by the time that you have, the difference in times that you have these pages up. If you put them up on a Monday, and Monday's a big sales day, and then the next page you put up on the B page you run on Wednesday, you know, so you do 2 days, Monday, Tuesday, and then you're going to do 2 days, Wednesday, Thursday, you might find that your results are skewed. Or if you say, well, I'm going to do Monday this week and Monday next week, and next week's approaching a holiday, just be sensitive. Does that mean you can't do an interval A-B split test? No, we do it. It still works, but you've got to factor in those variables, and you need to be aware of the fact that, again, the goal is just to get enough information to make a probable decision. It's not to prove to the world that you're a brilliant statistician. So if you're not A-B split testing, you're leaving money on the table. Guaranteed. I move on. Number seven, copy should be long enough to do its job effectively and not a word longer. Hemingway said, make every word tell. That's good advice for your sales copy also. Make every word tell. And long copy for the sake of long copy is not to your benefit. Always keep in mind the primary goal of your website's copy. It's to sell your product or service. So each section of the long copy has to be a priori necessity, as we would say in philosophy. It must be a necessity for you to add it. And yet, for many products, there's a lot more necessary information than we give ourselves, than we actually provide for the prospect. Number nine is obvious but underutilized. Utilize strong testimonials, but be very careful about how you do them. We're going to do a whole briefing on how to elicit and utilize testimonials. We're going to show you through a series of tests how to use testimonials in a way that works more effectively. Don't just put testimonials up there about how wonderful your product are. Match the testimonial to the feature that you're emphasizing and to the leverage point on your site. Put customer service testimonials right close to the order process to give them an assurance. Put a refund testimonial right there's a place sometimes for refunds where people have, say, a product that might not be the right fit. Use, you know, somebody say, wow, they got the product back to me and exchange it within 24 hours and it came in, I was surprised. That type of testimonial, match your testimonials very specifically to the point you're trying to emphasize. Don't just throw them up on the site. And number 10, sales tone. I'm running out of time to talk about sales tone. and we're going to have to talk about it in the brief that you received. But the big mistake in today's long sales copy that many of the old pros are using is they're producing a diminishing return on conversion ratio, even though they work better than short copy. They're still getting diminishing returns because nobody believes them anymore. It is odious. It is obnoxious the way some of this copy is written. They talk about how amazing this is, and they patronize the readers, and they make wild claims, and it's disgusting, and people no longer trust it. I've written a piece called Transparent Marketing. It's a feature article. Many of you are familiar with it. If you're not, get it and read it. And we want to talk to you about how to marry a tone that works in the postmodern consumer with a postmodern consumer, but with the techniques of long copy. And that marriage is extremely profitable. Placing those together brings credibility and courtesy together with enough information that's presented in a way that doesn't feel like you're browbeating the customer into a decision. Instead, you're serving the customer with adequate information to make a decision. And that's a whole different philosophy. So then, I must end. Do you have any questions before I do so? And has this been helpful for you? Please tell me, because we're wanting to make sure that the information we provide you is serving you well. So please, give me some feedback.
I think it's been quite helpful.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else and any questions?
This is Jagdish Flint. This has been quite useful. Just a comment about the page you showed from Corey Rudell. I have heard of him, never read anything like that except the page that you showed me today. My gut feeling was it was kind of a snake oil salesman kind of page. My question to you is, what kind of people fall for that kind of a copy?
A lot of people do. It doesn't work well with sophisticated buyers, but there is a section of the market, and all he needs is a fragment of that market, and he has sold a lot of product. But his tone may be changing, but the earlier tone that I studied in some of his offers for his marketing course and so on is working less and less frequently with a larger and larger share of the market. And I'll tell you, the younger generation that's coming up right now, mm-hmm. they are not going to buy from that kind of copy. They're already skeptical. They grew up skeptical, and the world is changing. And Corey may change with it. He's very smart. Again, I don't know him, and I'm not trying to, criticize him, but I'm not afraid to criticize the technique, not a bit. If it doesn't work, let's say so. And if what we do doesn't work, let's say that as well.
Clint, a follow-up question. To your knowledge, are any of the academia's big universities who are in the business of mass communication doing any work or publications or research on how to write things for online marketing for the web?
I'm in dialogue with a number of universities, but, I was talking to Cambridge about it, and they said to me, I proposed a project that we could research together, and they said to me, look, we don't have a single supervisor on our staff qualified to do this type of researching. We just don't know this, because the old Ivy League universities are quite stodgy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, look, Bill Gates just gave you $1 million to, get with the program. Don't you think you should be able to find somebody?
Okay.
All right. Anybody else before we go?
I have one final question, Flynn. This is Gary again from AccuWeb Hosting. When you said doing test A and B,
yes.
What comes first? Basically, chicken or the egg is what I'm going to get at here. Do we test the keyword in the headlines first, or do we test the different short and long copies first?
Oh, that's very good. The best way to test your headlines is to test those in you can test them together, get the copy, and then begin to vary your headlines. You'll have to change them as time passes anyway. But I like to test them in the search engines. I test them in Google. I can test fragments of headline and copy in Google, even if I'm driving them to a page yet that isn't completely ready, and instead ask them to sign up or provide information or, give them a report, just some reason to get there without offending them. I can generally nail my headlines down by a smart test in Google.
Okay.
A good way to test your concept and your headline. And good question.
Scott, Scott Adams.
Yes, Scott, go ahead.
I just joined you.
Oh, you just joined us. Okay, all right, Scott, that's
fine.
Well, your
assistant to join you at 5.
Yes. We're just close. Scott, if you log back in 3 minutes, we'll be ready to go.
Okay.
I'm going to log off for this call with everyone else, and thank you for coming, and I hope to see many of you at the conference. You take care.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.